Amen. You may be seated. So this morning, I want to share a story with you that pulls hard on my heart. Now, though it might be difficult to share, I believe that God has something for you in this story. Whew, okay. So, exactly 1 year ago today, on July 14th, 2018, one of my best friends from high school lost her younger brother to a tragic tree-cutting accident. He was 31 years old. He had a wife and three kids, ages 4, 2, and 10 months at the time. I attended the funeral. It was at Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie, and the parking lot was packed, and I was late. And as I rush into this church, they usher me up to the balcony because pretty much every seat was filled. I sat and listened to family members and friends share words of honor and memories, share scripture. We sang worship songs together. And then towards the end of the service, that young man's wife came up to the microphone, his widow. And she stepped up and left her little 2-year-old girl in the front row with some family. As she started to speak, that little girl began to cry. And so the mom asked for her to be brought to her, and she held this little girl. While she continued to talk, this little girl continued to cry. At times, these quiet little whimpers, and at other times, these heart-wrenching sobs. And every time when she would sob, that young mother would stop. She would rest her head on her little girl, and she would say, "Everything is okay, sweet girl." She continued to speak of how she didn't quite understand why God had given her the privilege, that is what she called it, of raising these three kids on her own. In the midst of one of the hardest things that I could ever imagine as a mom and a wife, this young woman gave God the glory. She knew what she believed, that there was hope for the future, and in the midst of hardship, she stayed strong to her faith and she pointed others to Christ, all while holding this little girl and stopping every once in a while to say, "Everything is okay, sweet girl. Not everything is going to be okay, or everything is not okay. Everything is okay, sweet girl." It is my hope and prayer this morning that we will understand what it is that we believe as Christians. And through the testimony and examples of the early Christians, we will be able to do what it says in Acts 14, 21, and 22. We will be strengthened and encouraged to remain true in the faith, for we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Let's pray as we continue. Dear God, this is your space and your truth. Holy Spirit, be present and powerful. Amen. So as we begin in Acts 14 today, we'll actually look back at 13 to kind of set the stage for us. I would encourage you to grab a Bible if you have one, or to open your Bible app or grab one in front of you as well. For in Acts 14, we meet these Christians who, like that young mother, are examples for us to live a life that is all in for Jesus. Acts 13, 2 through 3 begins like this. "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul, also known as Paul, for the work to which I have called them.' So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off." With the direction of the Holy Spirit, these two early Christians, Paul and Barnabas, follow the call that Jesus left for them in Matthew 28 and Acts 1. To go and make disciples of all nations, and to share and be Jesus' witness to the whole world. It was not an easy task. and they faced many hardships for what they believed and the message they shared. Now, it is critical to understand two things this morning. The first thing is that Paul and Barnabas fully believed that Jesus was the Messiah come to save the world. They believed what Jesus said about himself to be true in John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. They believed that with all of their being. Freedom, forgiveness in this world, and everlasting life in the next. Do you believe that? Do you take time to think on what it is that Jesus did for you, for all people? Whether you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, you're questioning, or at this time you don't believe, I would really encourage you to read the book of John, to dig deep into the life of Jesus and the gospel message. Please know what it is you do or do not believe. For when hardships come, and they will, you need to know what you believe. For Paul and Barnabas, they were all in. They fully believed that Jesus was the Messiah, come to save the world, and that changed the course of their entire lives. The second critical thing to understand is that Paul and Barnabas knew that believing Jesus was the Messiah meant that they would face hardships. They're actually the ones that say in Acts 14:22, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Paul echoes that truth in his writings in Philippians 1:29, where it says, there is far more to this life than trusting in Christ. There's also suffering for him. And the suffering is as much of a gift as the trusting. Because of what Paul and Barnabas believed, they had to be bold in the midst of many hardships. In Acts 14, it presents three hardships that we as Christians can learn from in our own lives and see how they lived through those. So if you start off and you got your Bible, Acts 14, we're going to start at the very beginning, 1 through 7. It says, at Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went, as usual, into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the other Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent a considerable time there, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. There was a plot afoot amongst both Gentiles and Jews, together with their leaders, to mistreat and stone them. But they found out about it, and they fled to the cities of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the gospel. Opposition. Opposition is resistance. It is hostility, rejection, criticism. That is what Paul and Barnabas were facing in the city of Iconium because of what they said they believed. And the crazy thing about this, if you heard it when Sam read it and you hear it right now, is they faced this opposition, this hostility, and then in verse 3 it says, so they spent a considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord. In the midst of opposition, they stayed. It's not actually until they find out that they are physically threatened that they leave, for sharing the gospel is a combination of wisdom and boldness always. Opposition against the message of Jesus was real, and it is real today. Paul and Barnabas were being opposed because of what they believed, that Jesus was the Messiah, and people knew what they believed. And they didn't hold back, speaking the truth of God's grace. No, when the going got tough, they stayed a considerable time longer. We all must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Being all in means that when you are opposed, you still point to Jesus, regardless of opposition. Now, that is not easy. In all honesty, I struggle with this hardship. For as much as I love to tell people about Jesus and the love that he has and the greatest message and the freedom and the forgiveness, when Jesus' love or truth gets challenged, sometimes I just want to slide back to the corner. Let somebody else speak God's truth. But church, if we believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and we are all in, we cannot do that. No, we cannot allow opposition to stop us from sharing the best truth that is out there. In fact, I would like to give you a pointer or something that has helped me when I have faced opposition or fear or worry. I stop, I breathe in the Holy Spirit, and I breathe out myself. And I have stayed in conversations longer than I ever thought possible with patience I didn't know I had. I have faced fears. I have had wisdom because of the purposeful act of breathing in the Holy Spirit, breathing out myself. The second hardship illustrated in chapter 14 is temptation. While there is opposition, there is temptation. Now, I can only imagine that Paul and Barnabas faced temptation in the town of Lystra, right? Because in verses 8 through 18, as Sam was reading, they go into this town and they perform a miracle. And all of a sudden, the people think they're gods. Come down in human form, for these people had no influence of the Jewish culture. So they are just going by what they knew, and they begin to praise them. Like, they are getting things to sacrifice, they are going to praise them, to worship them. I mean, fame, power, a little bit of deception to live into that for a moment. I can't imagine that there wasn't even a little temptation to live into that just for a moment, right? But not Paul and Barnabas. No, they find out, after a little language barrier, what's going on. They find out, and this is what they say in verses 14 through 15. They tore their clothes and they rushed out into the crowd shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We too are only humans like you. We bring you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God." It is tempting to stay quiet about Jesus, especially when the other options are fame, power, reputation. Plus, what does a little deception hurt if someone believes something else about us for a little while? But like Paul and Barnabas, church, we must move quickly to remind ourselves and others of what we believe and what is true. No matter how loud the crowd yells or how quietly that voice of temptation speaks in your mind and in your heart. When temptation comes, move quickly. Rush towards Jesus' truth, love, and power. The third hardship found in Acts 14 is fear. Now, as Paul and Barnabas have worked hard to keep this crowd from sacrificing to them, all of a sudden it totally turns. And now these people actually are angry with them. They don't want to worship them and praise them. They want them gone. So we pick up, if you're following along, in verses 19 through 22. Then some of the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. Just a side note, those people have followed Paul and Barnabas, all the way from where they opposed them in the cities they were first, to continue to make sure that they were silenced. So the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and they won over the crowd. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. They preached the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. You have to believe that Paul and Barnabas were battling fear, for they had just said, "We are only humans too," to that crowd. The fear as Paul is being stoned, or the fear for Barnabas as he goes outside the city to see if his friend has truly been left for dead. And none of that stops them from sharing the gospel and continuing on. I am in awe of this story. After being stoned, Paul goes back into that city. I will have to wrestle with if I could do that or not. God will have to keep working on me. Back into that city. He is not leaving on somebody else's push out, anything like that. He goes back in, and not only that, those disciples then, after they travel, they go back to every single one of those cities where they were opposed, tempted, even put to death, supposedly, to encourage believers. That's crazy, right? Because of what they believed so strongly, that their message and the truth that they had was undeniable. Church, we cannot live out of a place of fear. For we believe in the risen King, the one true God, the Savior of the world, and we are his witnesses to this world. Do you know what you have? Do you share what you have? The message we know is so important, and the God we serve is so powerful, and his love is crazy. It's huge. It's amazing. The truth is that it is only God who changes someone's heart. But it is us who have the privilege to point others to him. Paul and Barnabas risked their lives, their comfort, their reputation, because they knew Jesus' love, truth, and power. They returned to each of those cities to strengthen and encourage the believers. We all need to be strengthened and encouraged, don't we? And I hope when you read God's word, when you hear stories like this, true stories, as Ed has done such a good job teaching my little girls, these are true events. I hope that you are encouraged and strengthened. I hope also that in this time as we listen to this video, that you may find the encouragement and strength that you need.
Down so low, my faith seems to come and go. Some days, Father, I don't know. Crying out for more. Gotta pray, gotta press on to the prize.
the struggle. Every choice is an act of war. Gotta pray, gotta press on to the prize worth fighting for. When it feels like I'll never make it, when my heart's crying out for more. Gotta pray, gotta press on to the prize worth fighting for. When every day is just another struggle, every choice is
what will you do when hardship comes your way? Maybe you're facing one right now. I know that my friend who lost her brother is today. And I hope that you and she and I, that we will all remember the lives of the early Christians, and that we will also know what we believe. Read your Bible. I think I say it every time I'm up here. Read your Bible. Know what it is that you believe. Dig deep into Scripture. Let that be written in your heads and on your hearts. For when hardships come, and they will, you will have truth to hold on to repeat to yourself, to breathe in the Holy Spirit and breathe out yourself. And be bold. Like Paul and Barnabas, when the opportunity arises. In a culture that holds happiness as an ultimate value, you will be opposed. For there is little to no room for suffering, self-sacrifice, or a truth that makes someone feel uncomfortable. You will be opposed. What you know and what we have in the gospel and Jesus can overcome all barriers and all things. Do not shy back. Be bold. For as Paul said in Philippians 1:29, there is far more to this life than trusting in Christ. There is also suffering for him. And the suffering is as much of a gift as the trusting. Church, when hardships come your way, may you have the belief and the boldness to be all in. For only with Christ is everything truly okay. Pray with me. Dear God, I thank you that only with you everything is truly okay, God. That you can direct our steps, that you are with us, and what we get to walk towards, God, to point people to you is a gift. May we live into that, Lord. Wherever we are at, may we dig deep into who you are so that we know what we believe, God, and I just pray that your Holy Spirit is at work, softening and pulling and pushing our souls, God, closer and closer to you. We love you. Amen.